Today's episode is a slightly different kind of episode. The last couple weeks I've had the pleasure of connecting with a few different listeners of the podcast, guys who've also taken the Archetype Challenge. And one of these guys, his name is Mishka, happens to live in Thailand. He happens to be on the island that I'm currently on, Koh Phi Nhon. So it seemed crazy to not do our coaching session that came with the Archetype Challenge in person. And in our coaching session, we went pretty deep into, you know, obviously his personal life, but specifically the dark masculine archetype. And you know, we work through a current relationship he has of navigating that archetype and his intimate connection. And I felt like, actually, after our coaching session, I kind of felt like it should have been recorded because, you know, if you listen to the podcast, I did an episode on the dark masculine conceptually a couple months ago, I think. It's one of our more popular episodes on the podcast. But in speaking with Mishka, I feel like we got a little more direct into answering the question of how to navigate or how to embody the dark masculine, specifically when you're with a woman who is maybe giving you signals that make it seem like it's not okay. Like, how do you navigate your own shame? How do you maintain a heart connection while embodying your carnal, sexual, earthy, predator nature? How do you navigate consent? And actually, even though in this episode, we kind of worked off of our coaching session from a couple weeks ago, we do spend some time more in like the darker end of intimate relating. I think this episode also answers the question, what do you do when your needs and your woman's needs seem to not be able to coexist? Because I think a lot of guys get tripped up on that of like, well, someone's gonna have to fail, and this is where negative compromises happen, and or people get resentful at each other, and it kills the mojo between two people. Whereas there's actually a way to navigate this that maybe doesn't seem obvious at first. But anyway, I really commend Mishka for this episode of his vulnerability of actually sharing about his life and giving us an opportunity to apply the dark masculine concepts to real life in a practical way. Right now you're listening to episode 102, Integrating Dark Masculine and Heart Connection. The Rwando Podcast is an exploration of the unconscious and the game of life. Be sure to visit Rwando.com to get a preview chapter of my upcoming book, Infinite Play, and free access to my content library. Enjoy the show.
What's been going on with that?
So what's been going on with that is that, so I took the realizations of last time that if I don't know, just try anyway. Mm-hmm. And just the fact of like if I reject myself before I can find out whether it's a yes or a no, it's always going to be a no.
Yeah.
Right. So I went with that realization and just with my confidence and just with a good vibe. And yeah, maybe it was the next day or the same day, I can't remember. I arrived at her house and I was just feeling good, was really feeling my energy. And I think she was like doing dishes or something.
Yeah.
And I just like came behind her and like we started kissing. And yeah, I was like feeling I was really feeling my sexual energy, and there was like a lot of that between us, and it was fun and it was exciting and it was like really like charged. I was like quite in like that taking assertive dark masculine sort of energy, and it was fun. But then it again got to the point where she went from body language being very clearly like a yes to to that like, which I can't, like, in how do you call it, interpret?
Yeah,
it's like, just kind of, like, I'm not sure now anymore. And so instead of, like, stopping or freezing as it was before, I was like, my interest was to have a, amazing experience for both, but I wasn't scared of, doing something wrong or getting a no, right? So that was the thing. We got down to last time. So I just went from that and it didn't go that well. because she has a kind of a, I guess she has like some trauma around like men not caring.
Yeah.
Right? And the old me would have, like the old me was like really like asking permission and being like really like setting container and that sort of stuff. And like, I've always got really positive feedback from that. But anyway, so now I was exploring this, and I wasn't doing what I'd usually do, and this just kept kind of playing. And I thought what's happening is, which I later found out was accurate, was that she was in her head.
Right.
Her body wanted to continue, but like some part of her head, you know, had doubts or fears or, you know, am I safe, this sort of stuff. But so I was like, okay, like instead of both getting in our head, I'm just gonna like, I didn't do anything hectic, but I just kept like maybe kissing her body and just kind of like, you know, just seeing like, I kept being with my desire in a way. Mm-hmm. I didn't like go into, you know, big extent with that. Like I didn't, you know, like go to.
You didn't do anything extreme.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, but then, yeah, it like really triggered her. Like uh-huh. It really triggered her. Her trauma of you know, men not caring or not being considerate and stuff. And then especially when I told about my mindset and what I was like doing. Like, first it didn't land well because she uh-huh. was like, you know, I'd wish to know if you're trying out things like this, like, and that was my first initial plan was to talk about it, but I came in and it was on, you know, like
yeah.
the energy was there and it was happening, so that's what happened, but so yeah, so it's been about integrating those two.
Okay, so okay, I ask you,
totally.
Do you guys feel closer now after that?
Yeah, that made us feel closer. Yeah. For
okay.
Sure.
So yeah. I mean, I don't know how much you want to share, but last time we spoke, it seemed that we identified there was a fear of that negative discomfort.
Yeah.
As if it was like a final, like oh, you lose the game. That's not
yeah.
true, right?
Yeah.
Like you know, you had discomfort. You actually probably created more discomfort this time than in previous times, but in the result, you're closer together.
Yeah.
I think I'm guessing you probably both trust each other more.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely like worth it, and it was just necessary. And
yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. And a lot of the things you shared, I think, really, you touched on a lot of interesting things, like just the fact that you said her body was into it, but her mind wasn't.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we have multiple, we're not one thing, right? We have these multiple parts of ourselves, our brain, and relating with a woman, you have to kind of deal with all, you know, you're relating to all parts of her.
Yeah.
So... Well, great stuff.
Yeah, and that was like one of the topics I wanted to discuss in general, and it's beautiful that you know we could weave in like a real life example, but just that topic of balancing those two things,
uh-huh.
like balancing in you know integrating that carefulness of crossing boundaries and that consideration of her experience and you know for her to feel safe and all that, and like. In like sexual situation or let's say like in the bedroom situation and also like elsewhere, just flirting or dancing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But balancing these two energies because you know there's so many women have trauma, so it's like sometimes I have even fear of like it's definitely better now, but like even flirting or being like really bold with something, just because the fear of being judged as like this, you know.
Yeah.
You know, after the Me Too movement and all these
yeah,
sort of
yeah.
things, just being judged as like this, I don't know, how would you describe it? Like perpetrator or just
yeah.
like too, yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky because I mean, from the man's world, to really be, to really navigate this, you kind of have to expect that everyone's acting through their wounds and kind of forgive them for
yeah.
it, you know? Because, I mean, so many guys... your age and our age are also traumatized by being called perpetrators before they've ever done anything. It's kind of like this back and forth
exactly.
Inhibition that's being, yeah. But so I think, you know, I commend you on doing this step of risking perpetration because you've probably healed a little bit of both of you, the two of you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like, but even like ecstatic dance or all these sort of situations, then balancing like how can I, like just be in full self-acceptance of what's happening inside me and
yeah.
my impulses and my, you know, testosterone-driven impulses and
yeah.
my masculinity and what's alive in me. And like, if I want to, you know, show up like this, like, or even express like anger on the dance floor, just in my own bubble or whatever, just like navigating that thing of, okay, like I want to be fully myself, but like how much responsibility do I need to take of the traumas of others, like how much do I need to facilitate that is kind of this, you know, thing that I'm figuring out.
Yeah. Yeah. This might be an odd example, but like, you know, you're talking about Me Too. on like a society level, the guys who seem to really extend this narrative seem to be the ones who take on the guilt. Like, if you look at some of the celebrities, I don't know if you follow this stuff, but if you look at some of the celebrities who've been like, oh, me too, he did this bad thing, the only ones who are still villainized, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I mean, obviously there's terrible ones like Bill Cosby, like everyone agrees that was terrible. But like some of the ones where it's kind of like he wasn't really doing a bad thing, like maybe he misread a signal, like he meant well, but he's being in his masculine, whatever. The ones who really got destroyed were the ones who like really took on this shame. Like as you could see, like the ones who apologized too much took on the shame, and then not only did they kill whatever sexual energy is there, it's like it just like reinforced the shaming narrative, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I guess it's about owning that a lot of the times, like owning what's alive in me with respect and carefulness and consideration. Like it's just balancing those two, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like for me to show up and express, you know, sexual energy or interest or whatever.
Yeah, because you could be a sexual beast without intending to harm anyone. Like those two things don't really have, they don't really have anything to do with each other. It's just when like harm or lack of oxytocin and that sexuality is together, that's when it causes harm, you know? Yeah. So it's tricky though. It's tricky, especially with like the whole generation of traumatized women.
Yeah.
A lot of guys are extra gun shy.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Cause like, I don't feel it's in a way, it's not nothing to do with me because I care and I'm, you know, considerate and I obviously don't want to harm anyone. But because of, you know, all the trauma being there and for what other men have done and stuff, like, I need to have this assumption that every woman I'm interacting with has some sort of trauma.
Yeah.
From a man from before.
Yeah, it's like, can you beforehand accept that she's going to have a trauma response to you and you don't have a trauma response back? Like, can you, like, forgive her? That she's gonna maybe throw some shame on you and not take on the shame and then love her back and then she can put her guard down and you can put your guard down.
Right.
Okay. And then you can ravish her and she can be ravaged because that's what your animal bodies want to do and then no one has to feel like they're being violated, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough though. Actually, I had a breakthrough actually similar in a similar topic. Did you hear my Madonna Horror Complex episode?
I don't think so.
Okay, it was an extension of The Dark Masculine. It was basically sharing about how in my life, there have been women who, like, I can go super dark with. Because I don't really, maybe we don't have that much of a heart connection. Like, if I'm really honest, maybe I have some contempt from them. Maybe there's something I don't like about the personality, but there's sexual chemistry. And I could go, like, super, super dark, super polar, super beastly. Because I wasn't, in those connections, I wasn't really worried if she got upset at me. Like, I wasn't worried about losing her love or something. Whereas with women who I've been in love with, it's been much harder for me to access that because I'm so concerned about what she thinks.
Yeah.
And with my current love, I was a little concerned before we became intimate that I would have that kind of experience where I was afraid to go dark. But I haven't had that with her because of the fact that even though I really care about what she thinks and I really am attached to her, she gives me so much approval that I know that if I accidentally like spank her too hard or go a little bit too dark, I know our connection will go away.
Yeah.
And that's what something that jumped out when we spoke out before. It's like one of the reasons why you and everyone, myself included, might put the brakes on their sexuality with a woman they care about is they don't want to risk losing the connection. Yeah. But if you know the connection is there no matter what, then you can kind of take those risks and mess up sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think with most men, it's the fear of losing the connection or fear of being like shamed and, you know, like you're bad?
I think they're the same thing. Like the shaming thing is like losing connection to all women, right? It's like,
I guess
so. I mean, in society, if you get labeled as a perpetrator, that might ruin. Yeah. And then I think all of this is really primal. Like in Stone Age times, if you're labeled as something bad, then no woman's going to want, or like society won't want to connect with you.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I do relate to that. That experience.
Yeah. Because the truth is, if you really have good intentions and you really do have a real connection with a woman, you messing up one time by accident shouldn't destroy the connection.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't even give you a lasting impression that you're a bad person. Like, she should realize, okay, you're not a bad person. He maybe misread a signal or whatever. you know. But it's hard. It's hard. It's hard when there's a culture of like being everyone being quick to shame each other.
Yeah.
So
totally. And yeah, like that culture of it. If someone does something quote unquote wrong, like they deserve to be punished, you know, that
yeah.
that culture.
They lose their career, they lose whatever, they're labeled
yeah.
this forever.
And I think that thing you mentioned, it also goes to like confidence and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. Like I've experienced this. I've heard you talk about it in your podcast, even maybe about like when it's a woman whose opinion matters to us,
mm-hmm.
like then it's like we're more self-conscious and stuff.
Yeah.
And if it's just someone like one I send or someone, we could be like way more confident. Or
yeah. Yeah, because I met a lot of guys who like feel they can only have really good sex with women they don't love. Like the love and sex have to be apart, which is a shame,
right.
of course. So yeah, I think this work, even like you just working through this with your current
yeah.
partner, or you know, I don't know what she is, but like to you, but we're kind of healing shame, right?
Totally.
Because whether you guys are together for a long time or a little time or whatever, I mean, I don't know. You'll both go forth with less shame in you, so you'll shame future people more, and we can create a positive effect
yeah.
on the world, I hope.
yeah, yeah, totally. I might have another, let's see how this could start another topic, but maybe it's quite similar, I'm not sure. But like, so now what's happening between me and her is
mm-hmm.
like, so her house got, like her, the owner of her house, Airbnb in her house for
mm-hmm.
3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to stay somewhere.
Ah.
So she stayed at mine for 3 days. And yeah, I noticed it was really intense for
uh-huh.
me at some point, and I had just had this like need of space and stuff. And we really managed that well. Like it triggered some of her stuff, triggered some of my stuff. But basically, the point I want to get to is this thing that. So, yeah, she was someone I felt really attracted to when I saw her, and
mm-hmm.
the first, like it was really like beautiful attraction and a lot of energy and stuff. And now there's this thing of like, I don't feel like I haven't seen her since, and there's resistance yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's resistance in seeing her, and like I can't tap into like that attraction that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm having a bit of a blind spot, or having
mm-hmm.
a really hard time to figure out whether it's just something organic that I just don't feel it. Attracted anymore, and
mm-hmm.
you know, there's just like a logical reason, or whether it's like a blind spot of like some dismissive avoidant behavior from me, or
mm-hmm.
like a, you know, old narrative, like trying to protect me from some pain, or you know, some trauma based reaction of like, you know, that's scary. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
like how do I not feel like, you know, like
mm-hmm.
in my mind I was like, I would just want to feel attracted to her, and or I'm like, or did some of the, there's like something happen to the polarity? Like, I don't know, but it's just like,
mm-hmm.
I'm experiencing a blind spot right now there. And
yeah.
Well, see what happens.
You cool with digging into it?
Sure.
Maybe? Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, so it could be a couple of things. Maybe we could explore. Obviously, if she's living with you, that's kind of a place where a lot of people lose polarity, of course. Like there's less physical distance now. So
yeah.
like, I wonder if by living together, you said it was intense. I wonder if you built up any resentments, like maybe little small things that you're like, oh, I shouldn't do the. I mean, that's like a number one killer of sensation.
The resentment of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any resentment, any little thing of like, ugh. Like,
I think for a couple of days now, since I think she left on like, I don't know, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I've had a few days to myself now. But. So today I hit something which I feel like could be closest to the truth. I think there was many things where like she took control, like, or like, you know, like if I'd say like, let's do this or let's go here, like in insider exploration or whatever, or like
mm-hmm.
I need space, or like then, you know, she kind of, I don't know, like instead of following that, and I'm not sure how much of this is like my interpretation, but like I feel like, you know, she always had her input in
mm-hmm.
what was happening, and maybe like that somehow, like I don't know,
maybe
killed
okay.
the polarity.
For
now.
Well, so let's talk about your experience, because does she seem? Oh, actually, we don't even. Her experience is her experience. Do you feel resentful about that at all? Do you feel like you were emasculated in any way from that?
The first question felt more relevant. I think there is probably some resentment. Yeah, just a tad, just a little bit. Just because there was like moments where I'm like I just really need my space right now to, you know, do this thing and like I want to show up to you, but whatever. But like she, you know, triggered too much in her. Or like I don't know.
Oh, okay. So in those moments that you wanted space, you denied what you wanted for her sake.
I was really trying to hold on to it, and I expressed it to her, but then she showed up like fully crying, like she said like, okay, and then she went somewhere, and then she came back like, you know, like a triggered. Uh-huh. We had the opposite trauma. Her being like, I'm not cared for, like my experience doesn't matter, and mine is like,
overgiving.
No, actually, also like that my needs don't matter. Like, if I want something, like it doesn't matter because I will be shamed and blamed, and what I'm giving is not enough. Uh-huh. That sort of thing. Like I don't care enough, or I don't love enough, or you know, and my needs get diminished, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Also, perfect that you guys found each other.
Right. So you can see how that triggers each other.
Okay, if you weren't afraid. Wait, so can you state your fear in a sentence? You said it already, but...
Yeah, that my needs or desires just don't matter or are not cared for. Was that it? Or was mm-hmm. it, was the core essence more that...
What you're giving isn't enough?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Which one of those feels stronger?
Well, it's hard to tap into that right now. It's also feels vulnerable with being recorded and everything, you know. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, say, I mean, I think both of those experiences are really common for guys. I mean, especially men don't emote as much. So, like, you might be having a crisis and she might be having a crisis, but hers is always going to seem louder.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of men have just had that general resentment towards women about that because, like, it's always louder, like theirs, usually. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of a cliche, but like women are afraid of being too much and men are afraid of being not enough. And
right.
I think both of those things maybe are like one thing for you in this situation.
That's very true. Because she's saying that. That is exactly one of the things she's expressing.
Uh-huh.
And did that, and not being enough, not showing up enough, not having enough.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, attraction or, care or whatever. Yeah, so that's definitely a dynamic there. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say before we even like explore it, I think it's a really challenging thing, especially in your position, because to heal this in both of you, you kind of have to go and you have to go into a level of intimacy that's probably deeper than what you guys are at, which may or may not be the desire of both of you or either of you or one of you. You know, so it's kind of a challenging thing, and I think a lot of in like healing communities, people find each other to matching traumas, but it requires more intimacy than a lot of people maybe want at the stage that we're in. I think I'm speaking kind of from my own experience, but I think it's a challenge that it's worth addressing. It's that said, if you didn't have that fear, let's say you just knew 100% that wasn't true. Like that you are enough. You just somehow knew it. Well, imagine. What do you think you would do when she said, "You're treating me my needs like they don't matter"?
It's hard to say for me right now because there is a desire to like, how can we meet both of our needs? Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes we think a strategy is like this one strategy, like for example,
mm-hmm.
like getting your attention right now. It's the only way to meet my need.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you know, I know that there's more, like, there's a more abundant way to meet one need. So I guess there's always there is a desire, like, okay, can we just have something that meets both of our needs for now?
Okay. It's fine. No. I mean, I'll say... What I have found with women, even in my current relationship, is that her need almost always is to be validated emotionally.
Yeah, totally.
And your need in this situation, which I think is also common for most men, is actual time. Like, you actually need time and space. Like, it's more material. Like, you can measure it in minutes, in square meters, maybe. You know, it's very... Whereas hers... Well, I'll just give an example, because I actually have this same thing with my partner when she's upset, and she often will come to me and sit on my lap right when I'm in the zone. Like, right when I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm in the zone working. And in those moments, I used to get really frustrated, actually, because that's my critical moment. And I'm afraid that if I have to deal with her problem, that's the hour that I was going to spend on myself or whatever that I needed. But almost always, it doesn't take that many minutes. It's like energy doesn't require... I'm thinking out loud, so I don't know if this is making sense as I'm speaking, but... energy doesn't require minutes, right? Like, if you can, like, you can almost like dump all of her needs onto her in a few seconds, and most women, I think, become satisfied.
Yeah.
So that's something that's helped me, at least. It's like, I'm going to not only meet her needs, I'm going to meet her needs really, I'm just going to like dump a whole gallon of needs on her.
Yeah.
Because then she'll be satisfied and give me my space. Yeah. Does that help as a model at all? Or if I say that, does something come to mind?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So what do you think that could look like in that situation?
Well, I've started nonviolent communication, so I know the method of, and that feels really good, and I do it from my heart, not just from like a learned technique, but just to like connect to the needs that the other person is experiencing and just voicing them back to her in that situation. So guessing at her needs, so validating to needs like that. That's what I did. And instead of then just like fully showing up to her energetically, like I was like, yeah, okay, I like understand this, what you need. I think there's like this thing of like, I need to, I don't know, like it's like I have a desire to know that like I have the freedom of choice, you know, and in my head it's like if I can do this, what she wants, or I will be, you know, judged, blamed, or punished. So there's not that free will, you know. I think you've talked this about in one of your podcasts, I think, of like how, you know, how did you say it, to there's only value in doing something that's considered like, I don't know, like
by choice.
Yeah, if there's no choice, it's not like really...
It's not morality.
Exactly, that thing.
So I think this is maybe obviously the cause of your resentment. Like you lost your choice. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. But it's amazing because we can talk about all these things. Like we talked about everything and she's super like understanding, and like even if I get frustrated, like when she's not in her emotions, like she can be really understanding everything. So we were able to talk about all these things. Well... most of them. I don't know where we got stuck that now I don't feel like seeing her. Or I haven't for the last few days.
I think she might have done everything perfectly. My guess is maybe you still didn't act out of agency fully. Like, what do you mean? Like when you mentioned the nonviolent communication thing, I thought... it's almost like you're trying to appease her for her sake, which in your... So when you said there was no choice, I thought you were going to say, like, you doing this for her takes away what you were going to do for yourself. Is that...
Yeah, that was kind of the thing, was I was like right now, what I really long for, like, I had some crazy days with, like, visas and stuff. It was really hectic, and I might need to leave Thailand, actually.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So there was, like, a lot of crazy. I was like, I just really need to eat this bowl of salad and... bump my head to this music, like I don't feel like going to some emotional drama like right now. So that was the and then, you know, she's there crying, so it's like those two things couldn't coexist, I guess. It's that.
Yeah. But I guess what I was trying to paint with this like dumping the energy on her model, it's like your needs exist in the material world. Her needs exist like in a different plane of existence. You can maybe satisfy her needs in an instant. So actually, she was saying whatever she said. I mean, it doesn't matter what her emotions were about.
Yeah.
What do you think she really needed in that moment?
to know that she matters and that I care and, mm-hmm. and that, yeah, what she really needed was that to know that, like, if she would lose her shit right now, really, like, I would be there. Or if mm-hmm. you know, if she really needed me, like, I would be there mm-hmm. and that I care.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you think it could look like or could mean to 10 times satisfy her need?
I don't know, grab her, like, really just hold her and I don't know, like, voice how much I care or how yeah. much I am there.
I think it's like something about the way you're talking about it gives me the sense that you're like doing the, oh, she needs this thing. Let me give her like these 10 units of energy and then I kind of go back to my thing. Like, I think the thing with women often is like, almost like you have to attack with love. Like you can't just push off the invaders. You have to like go at them and defeat them and annihilate them completely, right? Like, so like, you know, these invaders are like her fears that she's not loved. Like, you need to like kill them all. Like, you can't just push them back. Because if you could say the perfect thing and she's still going to keep crying because maybe intellectually you did the right thing, but energetically she's still going to have that, I need something from you. And pulling, like, I don't know, I mean, I'm just speaking from my own experiences, but like when my partner comes to me in a need, like, I try to like do something that will eliminate all possibility that she's not loved. Like, I'll get out of my seat, I'll pick her up, I'll take her somewhere, even for 30 seconds maybe, and like express to her somehow physically with my words that I'm there. And then when I feel her relax, then I say, but by the way, I really need my time or whatever. And usually that's all she needs, you know? I can't speak for every woman, obviously. And like, the truth is, there are probably some women who are some people, all of us, who are so in our wounds that they actually do need a lot. I would choose not to be connected with someone like that long term myself.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like, you know, it sounds like the two of you have come together to like heal this thing. Both of you.
Yeah.
But I do think it's on the masculine's role to do the annihilation of fears.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's, I think, was exactly what happened. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like I was like doing that, what was yeah. the analogy to the invaders?
Yeah, just keeping them back.
Like, yeah, that's not letting them invade. I was like, yeah, babe, like, I hear your needs, but, and the other option is like, attack it and go yeah. like full power, like, yeah, I hear your needs and here I am.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. That is helpful.
Yeah. It's like, I forget where this comes from. I think it was in The Art of Seduction, which I don't think is the best book for relationships, but like something about when she's coming to you, pull her in more than she expected to go. When she's going away from you, push her away more than she expected to go. It's like either way, you're not going against what she's doing. You're actually following the direction she's going, but you're still leading it. Like, you know she's walking left and you pull her left. You know she's going right and you lead her right. And that way you maintain polarity, but you also are going exactly in line with her consent, with what she desires.
Yeah, that's just what came to me as well. Like, the thing I did, like, push, you know, keeping the invaders, like, mm-hmm. that I think that killed polarity, because, yeah. like, I don't know, maybe some part of my perceived that, like, I was forced, mm-hmm. or, like, I didn't have choice yeah. but to do this. And then if I then initiate it, attack it,
yeah,
like, I'm, like you said, leading and... In very much, you know, keeping the polarity of the masculine role.
And this might be idealism, but I would guess if you did this with full choice, because like the resentment is coming from your lack of choice, right? Like, if you chose to attack
yeah.
the fears between you, you might even feel better about all of your personal stuff. You might have a little winner effect moment and be like, yeah, so visa stuff, all this stuff is happening, I'm hungry, blah, blah, blah. But
I still did this.
Yeah, I still did this. Like, it might just feel good.
Totally. Yeah, I could see that. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for sharing all this. You know?
Yeah. No yeah. problem.
Yeah. Good. All right. So, I mean, we're trying a new kind of content.
Yeah.
I'm just be telling real stories, and this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does this work? Is it going to be like fully like raw, uncut, or do you ever like...
Unless there's something that you really feel...
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I prefer not to. One, because... Yeah. Well, yeah. I just prefer not to. Keep it.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my list of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unless you have something in mind.
No,
Yeah, there's a couple maybe interesting topics we could talk about. One question that's coming up is like, what's like, I guess it's a funny question, but like, what would you think is like a normal or healthy amount of attachment to having validation from women? Because, you know, like, you know, there's, you know, this nice guy bullshit of, you know, pleasing and which comes from a like really wounded, unhealthy place. But then I guess there's also like this natural desire to have like a experience-based feedback of, you know, our competence or like our usefulness, which also is validation from women, right?
It's a really good question. Yeah. I would go back to the like the whole king archetype thing of like, whatever, none of this is politically correct, but like the masculine is supposed to be the head of a body, right? Yeah. Like when women are pregnant, they're vulnerable. Mm. When women are, when anyone's in their feminine, they're bad at making decisions, like men too, if they're in their feminine, you know? Like, it's kind of your role to assert what the reality is. So like in a moment of, let's say, our, the earlier example of like, you make the correct read that both of your bodies want to go into this high polarity, beastly mode.
Yeah.
But maybe her mind, because of trauma, because of social conditioning, is against it. Can you assert the reality that that is actually the correct reality? No. I mean, not that you're going to say this, but it's like, no, trust me. Both of our bodies want to do this, right? And you have to be legitimate, right? And it takes a lot of real grounded confidence, because there's going to naturally be times when she, or any people from the outside, women in general, a given woman, men, whatever, are saying, oh, you're doing the wrong thing. I would say what has given me real confidence, let's say with women first, but in general, has been like in those high polarity moments, like the ones that you described, I do what I actually think is right, even if someone says it's wrong, and then find out it's right anyway. It's hard. It takes faith. It takes real faith in your intuition, real faith that your conscience is pure and you're not acting out of your own blind spots due to trauma or whatever. It's challenging, but I think that's the real feedback. And
so the feedback, are you giving it to yourself, like just from trusting? What do you mean?
Well, it's like faith that you actually know what the right thing is.
Yeah.
And no matter what people say, whether they say, oh, you're doing it wrong, or they say you're doing it right, like you're not using that outside thing to determine what's right.
Right.
You're using what you know is right, with the faith and the assumption that eventually, you know, people will give you the real. I'll give you a clear example. Actually, with women is the best, because sexuality runs on certain mechanisms, like that, like say the dark masculine is like an archetype we want to need to tap into, right? You doing all the nice stuff of like being really attentive and really mindful of consent, that's really nice. Everyone loves that. It's better than being a perpetrator. It's beautiful, yeah. But it has nothing to do with sex. Like, there's no sex in that. Mm. So like, a lot of guys who eventually become really resentful at women, they do the nice guy thing, they do all the social niceties, but then no one wants to have sex with them, because that's not what leads to sex. It's like, can you, the beautiful thing about, I think, why there's so much growth in sexual exploration is that if you do the right thing, women will want to sleep with you. Like, that's the real validation. And then, you know, one hypothetical example is like, she's verbally telling you all these things that seem like rejection, but you can feel her body's turned on. I know this is a taboo thing to say, but she's saying all these things and you feel her body's turned on, you sleep together, and then she finally admits, oh, I was saying that because, you know, maybe I was intimidated or something. You know, that's an experience a lot of guys have, which give them the confidence in their instincts. I hope anyone listening knows that I'm not saying be violated or anything like that, but like, It's scary, because sometimes you have to trust what your body feels over what other people are saying. Like, that validation of someone saying, oh, you're a bad person, when you're doing what you know is right, or what you know is okay, or you think is okay, because maybe there's some gray areas, you're not really sure, that's not the validation you want to seek. The validation you want to seek is when you're actually feeling that you're doing something right, and then she tells you, that was great.
Yeah. So to follow is to follow your own, and then.
Yeah, and it's hard, you know. I would say, I said this in workshops to younger guys, I think one of the best educations for a younger man is to sleep with older women who've processed through a lot of their stuff.
Yeah.
Because younger women have just as many, or just as innocent, or, you know, have, you know, older women, like a woman who's like not looking to marry you, who like is just there, like she can give you the real feedback. Not you, but I mean anyone, any yeah. man, like real feedback where you get to know, like, oh, when a woman means this, she actually means this. And like, that's okay that I listen to what I know is right. It kind of takes some, I mean, for my case, it took a few experiences before I could trust
yeah.
that, like, if I talk to a woman and she rolls her eyes, it doesn't mean she hates me. Maybe she's just testing me, or maybe she's unsure. Maybe she's intimidated by me and she wants to push me away for her own safety. And then I don't have to blame her for it. I don't have to take it seriously. I can still connect.
Yeah.
So I hope that wasn't too long of an answer, but
no.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah. And I think it, yeah, I think it's important, or it could be a good topic also to talk about, like the importance, like there's clearly a problem with men and women relating together. Mm-hmm. Like there's, you know, either like crossing boundaries and the women being traumatized and men having no sensitivity, or, you know, then the other extreme of no polarity and like yeah. this, you know, balls chopped off nice guys. So I'm wondering, like, what is it that like the mass of men, like, what tools do they need, or like you know, like, how can we, as, you know, influencers and content creators, like what do we, like, how can we make an impact? But yeah, like, for example, if, like, maybe half a year ago I posted a video about like how to receive a no and mm-hmm. and how, like, all this, like, how to create a safe sort mm-hmm. of container, and like it got received, like, you know, it has like maybe 5,000 views, and like
mm-hmm.
you know, like the world is hungry for that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But to not then take it to that extreme of you know, where the polarity dies. So I'm just wondering, like, what's your opinion on how, like, what do the men need, or like, what does the world need to balance this thing out?
Yeah. Well, on the super macro level, like world, I think it's kind of what we touched on earlier. Like, if everyone can respond without increase, it's like you can respond by increasing trauma or decreasing trauma, right? Yeah. Like, if you say "fuck you" to every woman who makes you feel bad, they all go off feeling terrible, and they are even worse to the next generation of men. And, you know, it's cycles. I think that's why we're at where we're at now. We're like, yeah. women have to be extra mean when they say no. Men take it extra personally when they receive a no, just to use your example, like, and which just makes it worse and worse and worse and worse. If you could forgive someone for being mean to you, you send a cycle in the other direction of like, okay, she said something really mean to me. It was uncalled for, but I'm not going to retaliate. I'm just going to accept that she's going through something and do something else. I think that's the general, I mean, how you make the world a better place.
Yeah.
With this though, I think it's, yeah, I mean, everything we're doing, education, it's a shame that most of the beliefs of between men and women are very wrong, that most people believe. You know?
Between men and women, like, meaning men and women having different...
Having different realities is one thing. I mean, we have different brains, we perceive the world differently, different things matter more than other things, and that's one thing. But then also, like, our culture gives us wrong information about how people connect. Like, that consent stuff is great and important, and it's amazing that, like, this generation of men are the most aware of women's feelings of any generation. That's beautiful. But to think that that's going to get you laid or that's going to make you attractive to women is just not true. So you have all these guys who end up getting resentful that they did all the right things, supposedly, and then no one wants to connect with them intimately.
Yeah. I wonder though, because I was doing that for a couple of years, and it did work. Like,
which part?
Like, asking may I touch your whatever? Like,
yeah.
May I do this? Like, can I? And like, women loved it.
Oh yeah.
Like, I was getting laid a lot, and a lot of women like would get emotional because they were like, this is the first time like that I really can feel like a man cares and stuff. So. But maybe I was doing it with like intensity of like, you know, like I was really present and there was still that energy of, you know.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Because I just want to be clear. I wasn't saying that it makes a woman unattracted to you. I mean, it's just like that exists on like the safety level where she may drop her guard, see you as a nice guy. But that's not what makes her want to jump your
right.
Bones,
so it
know?
Would be the assertiveness and the penetrative sort of presence.
It might remove the block if, like, oh, maybe she thinks you're a man, but she thinks you're an asshole. She's not going to want to sleep with you either, and those types of things are nice. But, yeah, and I also, you know, I mean, I think what just like as a man becomes more confident, as a woman becomes more confident, I've heard this more from older women, like, they get kind of tired when, like, there's too much consent conversation, you know?
Yeah.
But for someone who has maybe been disrespected, it might be the most important thing for her.
Yeah, and it feels like most of the women I've connected with, like, that's they all have, like, such a baggage of trauma.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just the women I'm connecting with or...
Well, it's a few things. I mean, you're 24?
25.
25, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's age a little bit, you know, not that I'm that much older than you.
Yeah.
But also, when you're in healing communities, people come here to get healed, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more, we can talk about relationships more, but like, what are your goals in life? I know you're becoming a men's coach, or you are a men's coach.
Yeah.
How's that experience been for you?
It's been really great. Like, so right now I have two men that I'm taking on a journey for a few months, like one-on-one coaching. And so far it's been really amazing to show up for them and just to see, you know, the process bubbling, just to see in a few weeks time, like, them being more in touch with their masculinity and having a more like healthy relationship to themselves and feeling more confident, and just in a few weeks, and especially after our session, like, inspired me to just show up as myself without planning anything, without having, just to show up and just to follow my curiosity and my intuition. And since I've been doing that, like, the sessions have been going even deeper and really, like, really diving in down to the shadows and back up and into wholeness. So that's been like
cool,
really
man.
Beautiful.
It's amazing.
So yeah, my goals is to fully pursue that. Like, I feel so passionate about this stuff. Like, if
beautiful.
Just to, like, you know, take my own journey and like, I mean, yeah, it's really like the source of my fuel. Like, all the things I've went through, like, in regards of, you know, my relation to myself and masculinity and my femininity, like, to just navigate, like, that whole thing. So I just really want to package my journey and you know.
Nice.
And, I want to really share it into the world and be there to support men.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I like your vibe. I think you're going to be very successful.
Yeah.
And like, what you said, I for me, it became a huge weight off my shoulders when I stopped trying to do anything in my coaching sessions, and just like, what is the most interesting thing about their lives, obviously, not about anything, but like, you know, all of this is just stories, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, can you help your client have the most exciting story possible? You know, that's all you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? Solving problems is just a part of their story. You're having them achieve goals is just part of having a good story, you know?
Yeah, and after doing that, like, it's like dropping out of my head and thinking and rational sort of, like, what would be the best thing to do or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it just comes up. Like, it just comes from somewhere deeper. Like, okay, like, ask this question. Okay, like, suggest this, exercise right now or whatever. Like, it's coming from, like, I don't need to even weigh them out much. Like, it's just like, this is the thing now. And
because worst case scenario is just a silly thing. Like, I don't know if you mind me sharing, but we did kind of a visualization thing when you and I spoke. It was like towards the end of our session too.
Yeah.
And I even thought, like, oh, this might be silly because I just met you. So, you know, we visualized some stuff. And I thought it was interesting. And I think it was useful to you as well. Just visualizing.
Totally.
Exactly. When you were visualizing middle fingers or something.
wagging
fingers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we think, I mean, I don't know how much you've experienced with psychedelics, but, like, that's kind of the experience I've had that has been healing. Just, like, sometimes random images that are symbols that I figure out later, and, like, yeah, that's kind of what you're doing with a coach sometimes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Can I look at the list?
Oh, yeah, sure.
If you want. I don't know. I guess. Yeah, maybe what I'm actually interested in is like, what's your biggest source of fuel and you know, with the work you're doing, and like, what's the source of motivation that like makes you want to like stand up for men and you know, do what you're doing, do your work.
I think it's what's motivated me actually is people like you, who I actually get to interact with directly and say they've been possibly affected by my podcast or stuff like this. Like, that makes me excited to come up with more stuff. I think I'm kind of going in a direction where I want to bring something new, like, or different, you know. That's why I'm getting really into this history stuff. I think there's a lot of grounded lessons in history, and then like really understanding the roots of, say, masculinity or why people are certain ways. I guess I really want to get to what reality is and why it exists the way it does. Yeah, just like, you know, stuff that, you know, seems dark, of like, men do have a raping impulse in them, you know. It's natural. It doesn't mean that we should, but like, that's in us. And why is that in us? Because for many of our ancestors, it was a useful behavior, you know. Anyway, stuff like that, I think, is just fascinating. And I like getting into that stuff, so.
Totally, and that sort of stuff helps us men to have like self-acceptance and understanding instead of shame, like, oh shit, I have this impulse, like, I'm so bad, like, whatever, but everyone has it. So instead of that, it's like, oh, okay, it's normal, and I don't have to act it out, but I can still be in integrity with myself.
I think that's really maturity, like accepting that there are things that are unpleasant, but that's what they are, because the alternative is shame, and that's not useful to anyone. Actually, guys, share something from my history stuff. I don't know if you're into history at all. But I've been working on this series for a while, and like, it keeps getting bigger and denser and deeper, and sometimes I'm getting lost in my head if like I'm focusing on warfare. And for a while I kind of went off on this tangent. It's like, oh shit, what does this have to do with masculinity? I got kind of lost. So this week actually, I found like this missing piece of like how warfare connects to masculinity and why war is the backbone of masculine behavior in human culture. And it's Stockholm Syndrome. You know, Stockholm Syndrome, right? Like, I realized, like, war has never meant anything to women. Not because women couldn't fight. Like, cave women are probably way stronger than... We're way stronger than you and I, you know? But in the Stone Age, if women didn't care who won the battle, because whoever won the battle would be who they mated with, right? Like, that's the reason why... I mean, I don't know. It was a profound moment to me of, like, oh, yeah, that's why women have never been interested in war, because genetically, it doesn't actually matter. They'll fall in love with whoever's taking care of them, which is a taboo thing to say, but that's the reality. And I was speaking about this with my girlfriend, and she's like, oh, yeah, well, that's why so many women have fantasies about being abducted or being taken or being captured. Like, that, for thousands of generations... The best thing for a woman genetically was to be taken by an alpha male, because she would be safe, she would be fed, she would have high status children. And like, that's why women are drawn to that, even though it's unpleasant to be around someone like that, for example, right? Anyway, stuff like that I think is so interesting, and I could talk about it forever, but that's what I'm working on these days.
Do you think that is why like women, like, you know, there's this thing of women being attracted to assholes?
Yeah, I mean,
if there's like strong assholes, I guess they have to be strong.
Well, it's the strength, right? It's that someone who is willing to be an asshole doesn't have the nice guy behaviors. And in the steppes, in the Paleolithic era, that kind of guy was more likely to win a battle, probably.
For sure.
So.
Yeah,
I think it all comes down to stuff like that. And like, you know, I'm not saying that all masculine traits are good, or like, not that everything about traditional masculinity is positive or even useful to men, but they all come from something real. It's not like people just made up stuff. Like, there are reasons why these behaviors exist, because at some point to our ancestors, they were useful and important. And they're in us because of that. So we have to integrate them, because they can't just be deleted, you know, even if they're not pleasant, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. Like, I would even think, well, anyway, I'll just say, like, when I was getting into like the darkness and getting in touch with like my dark side and sexuality, I would get so frustrated that women wanted to be choked or taken control of, because that was so beyond my comfort zone, that I would rather than just want to have nice vanilla sex. I would prefer that, actually. But I had to get real with myself. Like, this is just the thing that exists. And it was actually very freeing for me to get in touch with that. because I was so disassociated from that, like I couldn't even feel it.
Yeah, you know? I remember being shocked, like this is like way back, like so I'm having sex with this really cute sort of like, you know, innocent seeming hippie girl, and she's like I want you to choke me and slap me and stuff, and I was like literally shocked. I was like, what the fuck, like. And back then I thought this is like, you know, comes from culture and porn and stuff like that, not realizing like, no, it actually has like,
yeah, if anything, porn is like a perversion of these deep archetypal exactly. psychodramas in us.
Yeah.
So I think like it's the most freeing thing to be able to like create so much trust and safety that you both could go off the deep end,
yeah,
and play out this archetypal drama of you,
yeah,
of you being the caveman. If you know, assuming that's what you both want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question. How often do you face like very like actual like, I don't know, criticism or, you know, I don't know, some shaming or blaming for I don't know, masculine behavior or that sort of stuff? Like is that something that still like appears in your,
oh yeah,
life?
Actually more and more, actually.
Yeah, because you're very visible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not very visible, but as I become more visible, you know, like I talk about being in a sex cult, I speak, yeah, all the stuff that we're talking about, like,
yeah,
there are ways that men and women are different, and for some reason in our society, that's a taboo thing to,
yeah,
say. And anytime you speak about power dynamics, people always assume that women are being oppressed.
Yeah.
And it's understandable, women have been oppressed a lot, but like, yeah, so I do get criticized. I had a video speaking about, maybe I shouldn't have titled it Women's Crazy Emotions, but like, you know, when a woman is being emotional, sometimes you have the kindest thing for her is to not listen to what she's saying and listen to what she's feeling and then chart things out based on what you know is true rather than the stuff she's saying. The stuff she's saying might be a detour, or might be a whatever. Anyway, I get criticized for stuff like that a lot.
Right.
And then because I speak about being in a cult without saying that I'm traumatized, everyone who's in a cult says, oh, I'm a victim. I'm like, I had a good time overall.
Right.
I had a positive experience. People get angry at me for that a lot.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I think it's part of it. You know, sometimes I get hate mail and it's, they're obvious. They're always anonymous. They're always from a fake email address. So I just know, even though sometimes the words that they say to me are mean or they do hurt my feelings a little bit, I just know that they're hurting. And yeah, just try to recognize that. And
do these things ever happen in like life outside of, you know,
online media
yeah, and your podcast and stuff, like on the, you know, I don't know, in live interactions, getting criticized,
yeah,
for being, I don't know,
I just trust that my intentions are good,
yeah,
and anyone who actually gets to know me will see that
for sure. So it's not something that happens much.
No, I think maybe like someone who didn't know me well maybe heard me say something out of context, but then once they got to know me,
right,
they didn't, you know.
Okay.
You know, I think that's true with everything. Like, you know, well, anyway, yeah, that's all I'll say on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, is that a fear you have as you grow in exposure?
Yeah. It's something I'm you know, had to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm very expressive. Like, I'm you know, like very much on the path of like emotional embodiment and stuff, and for example at ecstatic dances, like if I feel any sort of fiery energy, like I'll express that, and I might really be flexing my muscles and or making like scary sounds, you know, like or screaming a little bit, or like, you know, like making aggressive sort of movement just in my own field, just as embodying what's going on inside me and just giving that like a space. Yeah, there's fear of being, you know, judged for like, you know, like what the fuck is he doing, or that sort of thing of, you know, dangerous like toxic masculinity or yeah, but it's not that I've ever actually, no one's ever like confronted me on that, but it's just in my head. It's been a thing I've just needed to just face, and it's that thing of like, hey, just deeply recognizing that, like, this is, you know, this is right. Like, there's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with this, and it doesn't really matter how other people, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
opinionate that.
And yeah, just, and like, you know, this is kind of a cliche thing to say, but if you're not offending anyone, then you're probably not saying anything or doing anything.
Exactly.
Edgy, like playing totally. It safe is just not interesting. Yeah. And it's not helpful exactly. to anyone. So, yeah, and the truth is, you know, just like when you're being in your dark masculine, you might accidentally cross the boundary and you have to work through that. Like, mm. you might do something too much, or you might do something that you're late. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I've done things for the sake of self-expression that afterwards I'm like, oh, like, I really didn't need to, you know, or I'm a little embarrassed. But that's part of it, too. Yeah. Like, can I be right with myself for putting out something that I thought later was dumb or something?
Right.
You know, you can always delete it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually realizing now as we're speaking that, like, ecstatic dance is such a playground for me to, mm-hmm. to work with different things. Like, lately, like, I expressed last time was that, like, I'm practicing this thing of being, like, okay with my desires and impulses and I'm being in the energy of taking and claiming what I want by going and dancing with women mm-hmm. and like really with like very, you know, like assertive presence, like mm-hmm. that they for sure know that I want to dance with them and
yeah.
I'm show up like right in front of them and it's fun. And but that used to be so scary because of all the things that we talked about before.
Right.
That, yeah. So anyway, there's so many things I'm playing with there. And yeah, I don't know. Yesterday I found an interesting edge. While dancing, which was like, yeah, because for the last maybe month, every time I'm ecstatic, like I go and dance with women, and you know, as it used to for some reason be scary because of things that I've expressed, but now it feels quite comfortable. But there was this moment where it's like, okay, this would be like a moment where it would feel good to like share touch or like mm-hmm. grab her and even thinking like she there's a high chance that she would also want that,
mm-hmm.
but just like just again that fear of like being too abrupt, like being
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden too much like touching someone, you know,
because mm-hmm.
there's no verbal consent and I don't know her, like I've never
yeah.
seen her. She's like it's scary. We're both moving quickly. Like, can I just grab her waist or you know her neck or mm-hmm. something? It's like I want to do this and there's a high chance that she would like it, but it's like. Like, I was like, I don't know how to do that right now. And it was just like frustrating. I was like, fuck, like, I don't know what to do. You know, like, I was like expressing it in my body also, kind of like,
uh-huh.
I don't know. It's just find an edge and something I want to like play with.
Yeah.
And ask my friends who do that, like, how do you do that?
Yeah. And like with anything, it's pre-accepting yourself that if you.
Yeah.
Do something
yeah
not perfect.
What's the worst thing?
Yeah cool man, yeah, it's fun speaking with you.
Yeah
cool. Was there anything else you want to speak about?
No, not really.
What's going on with your visa? Are you gonna get kicked out of Thailand?
Yeah, probably. I need to go within like I'm overstaying right now.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I had a court case a few months ago. It's a little bit of
damn
something, and yeah, apparently now like it should have been all good, but some weird bureaucracy like court and immigration not matching.
You have to go back to Finland?
I'm thinking Bali or Finland, I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Probably Bali's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been?
Yeah, I was there like a year ago, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Like a boot. I wish I went younger or sooner in life. You know?
Yeah.
I wish I traveled sooner in life.
Yeah, so. I heard you talk about it in on one podcast about like there being so much more women, and I was like, oh, like, okay, like that's why it's such a great experience there.
Yeah. I think it's actually being in such a feminine environment is really healing for a man. I think every masculine man probably eventually gets sick of it, just because, you know, once you feel healed and complete,
right,
you want maybe something more edgy. But yeah, I think like Ubud, I love Ubud.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Cool, man. Cool. Anything, do you have a website? Anything you want to promote?
You can find me on Instagram, Empowerment with Miska.
Cool.
MISKA. Also Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Content.
How soon are you leaving?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
It's kind of open.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me know before you go. Maybe we could do this again.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay.